our thoughts and finding peace and giving us those parameters wherein Christianity, defining those things that come from the Word of God. Example, that bitter and sweet water cannot come from the same spring. Well, from God's Word, you should not have both either. The practice of healing brought forth in this book of James. I know you're going to like it. James, that great book of instruction.
From Gravette, Arkansas, this is Shepherd's Chapel with Pastor Arnold Murray. Join with us now as Pastor Murray takes you on a book-by-book, chapter-by-chapter, line-by-line study in God's Word. Now, here's Pastor Murray.
All right, good day to you. God bless you. Welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. We're going to visit a little bit today. We'll probably start a book in the next lecture and a new one. But I want to talk about some of the most asked questions. We're in a lot of new cities and so forth, and maybe it's best we address some of those questions. And I'll kind of take the most serious ones, and I would give them prominence for seriousness, and as much as it could be the very thing that could get a lot of people confused and could be very serious, and as much as it could deceive a lot of people, especially in this generation. I have very little doubt in my mind. I have no doubt in my mind that the generation that we're now living in is the fig tree generation. And that, according to the teachings of Jesus Christ in the 13th chapter of Mark, which we're going to be touching on some of that today, the 13th chapter, that is, we're living it now because of the prophecy that is coming to pass with the change, the power that one worldism is receiving through the United Nations. You might say the unity behind that. Let's speak a moment, if we may. Christ was asked in the 13th chapter of Mark, as well as the 24th chapter of Matthew, he mentioned when he would return that he would turn the buildings of Jerusalem to sand. Why? Because Antichrist would be standing there, and it would be cleansed to receive the Millennium Temple. And he gave seven things. Seven signs that would be the events that would consummate the end of the age. And of course, those seven things are the seven seals and the seven trumpets. Not in chronological order necessarily, but the trumpets, of course, being then, not the seals in chronological order, but the trumpets, yes, in chronological order. And he mentioned that many would come in his name, that's to say, I'm a Christian preacher, or I'm a teacher, minister, or whatever, of Christ. We observed in the book of Corinthians, having just finished the second Corinthians, in the 11th chapter, that Paul warned there, even. He said, don't marvel, because Satan himself is going to come disguised as an angel of light, meaning the light, and Christ is the light, meaning he would come claiming to be Christ. So it should put a Christian on guard. What does all that mean? Therefore, it would behoove one, and that's one reason that we give the Mark of the Beast tape free, because it covers most of those seven events and tells of the warning, the chronological order that events will take place. I'm going to choose today to begin with probably the, I don't want to say mistaught, but just isn't taught. The fact that everyone speaks of the Great Tribulation, but what they don't tell you is that in this 13th chapter of Mark, Christ very definitely warns us of two tribulations. Now, that's what's going to catch a lot of people off guard. Why? Because the false Jesus returns first. That's what the whole warning is about. And he will deceive as many as will believe upon him. And it is a time no one is going to depart into thin air before that happens unless they die a natural death, because the change of bodies does not take place until the last trump, which is to say the seventh trump. And the trumps are very good for you to chronologically in your mind keep things in order. And this is very serious. Why would the two tribulations be more serious than many other problems of untaught things in God's Word? The simple reason is, if you believe that the first great tribulation is the great tribulation, you're going to worship the false Christ. I know that may sound so very strange to some, but just listen a moment. You stick with me. The false Christ coming first is not coming in warlike. He's not going to have a pitchfork. He's not going to have two horns. He's going to call himself the Messiah. He's certainly not going to tell you he's the false Messiah. He's going to claim to be the Messiah. And I have no doubt in my mind he will be saying, "I've come to rapture you away." And Christ continues then, after in this 13th chapter of Mark, warning that many would come in his name, but they would be false preachers. Because a preacher that doesn't teach both tribulations could deceive his entire group. He continued on and he mentioned how that some, that is to say those that would stand against this false Messiah, would be delivered up to his church, synagogue. And would cause them to come there for the purpose of converting them to his way of thinking. In other words, the false Messiah plays the part of Messiah in as much as he will teach he is the Savior. That's what the word Messiah means. That's what the word Yeshua means, the Messiah being the Anointed One. The Anointed One is God's Savior. Therefore, he will claim to be God's Savior. Unfortunately, he's just the opposite. His tribulation is called the first great tribulation for one simple reason. It is a tribulation of religion. You could even say, in as much as he claims to be Christ, it is a tribulation of false Christianity. If you only knew, if you are not a student of God's Word, and if you only knew how that false Christianity, in ignorance, not deliberate, but in ignorance, is even rampant today, that people are not taught the things they were told to teach to the two churches that would overcome, that is to say, Smyrna and Philadelphia. Well, what did Smyrna and Philadelphia teach that Christ was pleased with them? Who the Kenites were? The members of that synagogue of Satan, which is to say false Christianity, that they were taught, those two churches would continue to teach. It's the Great Commission. That is to say, teaching that key to David and who the Kenites are. And as it is written in Revelation 2:9, those that claim to be of our brother Judah and are not and do lie, but are of the synagogue of Satan. That's the only thing that made the church of Smyrna and Philadelphia stand out, therefore Christ giving them a crown because they were deserving. If you're not in a church today that does not teach those things, you'd better wake up. Not my word, but the word of God. He mentioned that those that would refuse conversion then would be delivered up. And in Mark chapter 13, he gives a sign that probably is the best sign you'll ever have concerning the two tribulations. I want to ask a word of wisdom from our Father that would fall on those that have ears to hear and eyes to see, and that those eyes would be opened and those ears would be opened if it is your destiny. in Yeshua's name. Now, in following this being delivered up at the big church to be converted, Christ gave another sign that is a very important sign. And he gave it in the 14th verse of the 13th chapter of Mark. And it reads, and let's cover it if we may. Mark chapter 13, verse 14, and it reads, "But when," now what time was that? "When ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not." It should be translated "where he ought not." And I'll make that clear before we complete the thought. "Let him that readeth understand." What Christ is saying here, do you have eyes to see? Do you have ears to hear? Can you understand? What is this abomination? We'll talk more of it. "Then let them that be in the land, in that be in Judea, flee to the mountains." In other words, it gives you the geographical location where that desolation shall take place, that abomination, rather. And the "when" is one of the events that consummates the end of this age, which is to say, the end of this earth age before, right before Christ's return. I want to give you a little Greek lesson, if I may. Dr. Moffat translates the word "it" here as "he." The same word in the Greek that means her, him, it. All right, it's the same word. It is the subject that is being addressed that determines the value of the word. In other words, if I were talking about a female and called her by name when this Greek word came forth, it would automatically be translated "she." All right. If it is an object, then it would be called "it." But it's the same Greek word. Therefore, it's very easy. If the translation is not accurate, to translate it as an object, a condition, rather than an individual. Now, the subject up to this point has been an individual, and it will continue to be an individual further into this chapter. But Christ here makes the book of Daniel a part of the New Testament. Very clearly does. He gives credentials to it. What did Daniel say about this? Daniel gave a prophetic utterance concerning 70 weeks. And in this utterance concerning the 70 weeks, he sets aside the 70th week, which is a period of a seven-year period, a week of years, you might say. But it's separate from the first 69 years. Those prophecies happened. They came to pass with the birth of Christ, with his crucifixion and so forth. But the second, then, that and the last of those weeks, I should say, the 70th, is that week that will consummate the end of this age, and that's what Christ was speaking of, the abomination that maketh desolate. It happens to fall in the 9th chapter of the book of Daniel in the 27th verse, and this is your first tribulation. And it reads in that 9th chapter of Daniel in the 27th verse, "And he," that's the false Messiah, the instead of Christ, or he that claims to be Christ but is not, that's the "he," "shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week." That's 7 years split into 3.5 years each to fit all prophecies of the Bible. Of course, this has been shortened, but be that as it may. "And in the midst of the week," that's after 3.5 years, "he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease." What does that mean? Well, the sacrifice and oblation happens to be communion to the Christian. And with this one claiming to be Christ, naturally he causes the present communion to cease. Why? He will claim he is Christ on the throne in Jerusalem. That simple. Now listen carefully. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate. Now the Hebrew is very specific in this. It says, and on wings. This overspreading is wings. On wings as a desolator. Not a condition, but an entity. Even until the consummation. What consummation? Those seven things that consummate the end of this age. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. You check it out in your Strong's Concordance. You have one. Check out the Hebrew word and you will find rather than desolate, it is desolator. And I'll tell you who will pour it out on the desolator is the true Christ at his return. Now, that is, and you will find in the eighth chapter of the book of Daniel, that this dude, this false Messiah, comes in with flatteries. He comes in by peace, not with war, but very peaceable. I want you to take a look around at the world today and its condition. I want you to look at Somalia. I want you to look at, better yet, Bosnia, the Serbs. It's awful what's happening there in the name of religion. It's awful. Absolutely horrible. But there is a day coming when there will be one appear that will bring peace to the world. A false peace, if we may put it that way, for clarification. Because he will come in peacefully and prosperously, and the whole world will be anxious to grab onto that regardless of what religion they go by. Because he will claim to be the leader of that religion. He will be supernatural. Christ has made that very clear. The desolator. And he will make desolate the true believers and the true Christ that paid the price on the cross for having forgiven our sins, for forgiving our sins on our repentance. But the question is, that's being addressed here, is when? When does this happen? Christ saying, when you see that Daniel speaks of, and we can spend a lot more time, but in one program we can't cover that, all of it. Again, that's why we request you order the Mark of the Beast tape if you're a new student with the chapel. It will go into a great deal of that. When would it happen? When you see him actually with his feet on earth, and you must read Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 through about 10, to find out how that comes to pass, how he gets here, how he arrives, and it will be made very clear for you there. But let's return to the 13th chapter of Mark. The question is when, and we'll be showing some more signs. Don't let any man tell you contrary to the Word of God. You stick with it. Many men, the majority, will be deceived. See that you're not. Okay? I want to go to the 15th verse of the 13th chapter of Mark. Listen carefully. And let him that is on the housetop... What happens on the housetop? That's where the watchmen, at the times of this writing, were always stationed. Not go down into the house, neither enter therein to take anything out of his house. In other words, when you see the false Messiah standing in the land of Judea, which is to say Jerusalem, if you're on the housetop as a watchman, just yell out the warning and don't go back in to get anything. You're not going to need it. Get out. Okay? The danger, well, danger of what? Well, Christ said in the beginning of this, I'm going to turn this mount to sand. There won't be one stone left standing atop another. I'm going to grind it to a powder. Verse 16. And let him that is in the field not turn back again for to take up his garment. In other words, you're not going to need any extra baggage. The end is so close that we're talking about a matter of days. Verse 17, but woe to them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. What does he mean by that? He means quite simply, remember, we've just finished Corinthians, where Paul said, I want to present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. How many will be impregnated spiritually? It is a blessing for a mother to bear a child. That's what man was placed on this earth for, and ordered to replenish it. Not talking about that. Those that would become impregnated with the mark of the beast in their forehead, which is where the gray matter is, your brain, you're supposed to use it, and you're supposed to understand the simplicity in which Christ taught. To give suck means to do the work, even if you would, or to nurse along, even, the work of this false one. All right? Now, let's go to verse 18. And pray ye that your flight be not in the winter. When is harvest? How many times have you heard referenced in parables and other things that the end of the world is the harvest? All right? Well, that's what it is. It's the harvesting of souls. You don't harvest things in the winter time. Harvest usually comes in the fall. That would be, or summer. It's out of season. Verse 19. For in those days, what days? The days of that abomination. For in those days shall be affliction. Do you know what this word affliction is in the Greek? Tribulation. This is the first tribulation. Is false Messiah walking this earth, okay? Such, there will be tribulation, affliction, such as was not from the beginning of the creation which God created unto this time, neither shall be. The tribulation is, believe it or not, a peaceful tribulation, and that's why many will be deceived, because it is Satan deceiving all those that are biblically illiterate. They can even call themselves Christians. But if you're biblically illiterate, whereby you have not studied your Father's Word, whereby you do not understand the simple chronological order of events, forget it, honey. I don't care what you call yourself. You're ignorant of God's Word if you do not understand. And you live in a generation that, friend, you had better learn to love the Word of God. You had better learn to love the warnings that Christ has given us. This tribulation is as the travail, even if you would, of a child in many places, the pain of a woman in delivery, as the pains come closer and closer together, and then the birth of a new age. What will be your role in that? It's your choice, friend. Who do you listen to? God's word or man's word? Remember that. Verse 20, and except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved. In other words, he is so convincing, as it is written in Revelation chapter 13, that he can snap his fingers and make lightning come from heaven. That's to say the false Messiah, false Jesus, instead of Jesus. And perform miracles that will deceive most of the world. They're not trained. They're not taught from the Word. But for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, who chose them? Christ chose them. He has shortened the days. We know from Revelation chapter 9 that it has been shortened to a five-month period. Verse 21, and then if any man, who? If any man, any preacher, any one of these that state they come in the name of Christ, shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, he is there, believe him not. No, it's a lie. 22, for false Christ and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders. Hey, not some little sideshow circus you've got going around now. I'm talking about the fall of the Nephilim. I'm talking about Revelation chapter 12, verse 7, where Michael cast the false Messiah and his angels, all supernatural entities, out on this earth to perform sights and wonders that man is not mentally prepared for if he's biblically illiterate. If he understands the Word of God, it'll be a day of praising even the elect, if it were possible, to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. Many will question themselves. What was the next sentence that Christ spoke then? Verse 23, but take ye heed. That means be very careful. Verse 23, behold, I have foretold you all things. In other words, in the Word of God, Christ has gone into detail concerning this first tribulation. That's why if you're not aware that this first tribulation shall happen in this final generation, you're going to get sopped up in it, friend. Because you know what? This, instead of Jesus or the false Messiah, and Christ didn't say maybe there's going to be a false Christ. He said there will be. And men will be crying out, he's here and he's there. Of course, we know he will be in the land of Judea from verse 14 of this book, chapter. If you're not familiar, and if you've never been taught about that first tribulation, you're in trouble, my friend, because you're biblically illiterate. Is it your fault? On Judgment Day, it will be accounted as such. You know why? It isn't taught. But that's why there will be many taught in the millennium. For a sin committed in ignorance is not counted as sin. But do you know what happens after that first tribulation? Let's go on with it a little bit. Remembering Christ has warned you, foretold you in his word. Not what some windbag might say, but in the word of God. Now listen carefully. But in those days, what days? The days of the desolator. The days that they will be claiming Christ is here or he is there when he's a fake, performing miracles that would even deceive the very elect if that were possible. Verse 24, but in those days after that tribulation, after what tribulation? The first one. After that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give her light. 25, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. 26, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming. That is, then shall they see the true Christ coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels and shall gather together his elect from the four winds. The four winds are the key, beloved. That's the four spirits. Mentioned in Revelation chapter 7 as well as in Daniel chapter 7. From the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. In other words, then comes God's great tribulation, whereby he destroys his enemies. Are you an enemy of God? If you are, you'll be destroyed. If you're not, you don't have to worry. You will be gathered. You'll not be harmed. It doesn't matter where you are. This is the so-called gathering back to Christ. Don't use the word rapture. It's not in God's word, and it will cause you to be deceived. Most people that use the term rapture draw it from one book. Oh, I know there are other places, but they pay no attention to the rules of Greek or Hebrew. You have to be very careful. But at that point, the angels gather God's own elect. Those that are deceived, what happens to them? They'll be praying for mountains to fall on them because they claimed they were Christian. But they misled their churches to the wrong Jesus. That's why Jesus will say, get out of my sight. Don't call my name. I never knew you. Why? They're biblically illiterate. They pay no attention whatsoever to the simplicity in which Christ taught. They would rather play one-upmanship of trying one group trying to impress another rather than teaching the children of the living God, babes in Christ. You see, it commonly is drawn from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. There's just one big thing. They usually don't read the 13th verse, which gives you the subject and the object in the Greek. the subject and the object, quite frankly, is a question which is to simply say, where are the dead? Where are they? And Paul goes into great detail, saying that if you believe Christ rose from the dead, and you'd better, or I don't know why you would call yourself a Christian, then he says, where do you think the rest of them are? He said, don't be ignorant like the heathen. They've already risen. And we that remain cannot precede the dead. Do you know why? They're already there. And then he mentions at the last trump, we will all be changed in the twinkle of an eye. That's this gathering I just mentioned at the beginning of the second tribulation. Christ is coming back here and will gather us here. It states there that we will all be changed and we will meet him in the air, but the Greek word is in the breath of life body, which means simply at that wink of the eye, we're all changed in the spiritual body. And that is the in-depth clue as to how you can tell when the true Christ does return, because you'll no longer be in a flesh body. And beloved, while you are in your flesh body, there will be supernatural events in this generation. Just during the first tribulation, it is after that tribulation that the true tribulation, which is to say the one brought on by Christ destroying Satan's power, shall transpire. That's probably the most pressing thing concerning gathering knowledge from the Word of God. It is the most valuable knowledge, aside from salvation, is to understand the chronological order. You don't have to know the instant, the moment, just the order, so that you know what follows what. It's your soul, my friend. Now, anyone that is new and has never had a free Mark of the Beast tape, you can ask for one. And it will go into much more detail. It's an hour and a half lecture on that subject. So, be advised. There are two tribulations. The first tribulation is the false Messiah, the false Savior, who is a supernatural entity, as stated by Christ himself, that will stand in Jerusalem claiming to be Christ. Avoid him like a plague. And within that, you perhaps will find yourself. Let's go into another question, if we may. One of the other most asked questions is probably divorce. Paul made it very clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 that if a man or woman be married to a non-Christian and they refuse to let them study, they are free to let them. If they leave, let them go. All right? But in the first place, we either have to teach and must believe that Christ forgives sin, or he doesn't. And on repentance, he even states, I don't want to hear about it again. So by Paul's teaching, as well as other teachings, as well as it is written in Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, God divorced his first wife, Israel. Will he take her back? Yeah, in Christ. Divorce is not the unforgivable sin. And don't ever let anyone is divorce nice? Divorce is awful. Absolutely awful. Painful. Painful to everyone. It should be avoided. But once you repent of a sin, I don't care if it's divorce, which adultery or what, then don't ever let anyone accuse you, because Christ is able to forgive all sins but one. Now, that probably brings to light, then, the unpardonable sin. Is there one? Answer, yes. And you better be forewarned about it, because it is a sin there is no repentance from. It is probably brought out the clearest in Luke chapter 12, verse 10. Where it stipulates, when you are delivered up before the synagogues, you had best not deny the Holy Spirit the opportunity to speak through you, because that would be unforgivable. Do I think that will ever happen? No, I do not. I do not feel that any one of God's elect that are not deceived and recognize the first tribulation and know Satan for who he is would come a lot closer, don't do it, but would come a lot closer to spitting in his eye than they would not allowing the Holy Spirit to speak through them. In other words, they're going to. They're talkers anyway. You can't keep their mouth shut. All right? They're waiting. They're anxious to allow the Holy Spirit to truly speak to them. That's the only time that shall happen. And my dear friend, that's what happened on Pentecost Day, was an example of it. Okay. There are many other questions, and perhaps we'll take at another time in between books, we will take a day that we will go through some more of those questions. But know this. Not being aware of the fact that there are two tribulations will deceive many. For as it is written in the book of Revelation, all the world will go wondering after that great whore, which is to say, Mystery Babylon. Babylon meaning confusion. Why? They're confused. Why are they confused? They're biblically illiterate. People have a great deal of difficulty in reading with an open mind the Word of God because preconceived ideas or precedents have already been established in their minds whereby they cannot listen to the Lord. They must listen to church systems. That has already been planted. Always take a little time to yourself and read carefully what is stated. And then you will understand, with a touch of the Spirit, what it is that your Father would have you know from His Word. All right, little discussion today. Hope you enjoyed it. Be aware of it. It will be the deceiver of deceivers in the end times. All right, bless your hearts. You listen a moment, won't you please? Free introductory package. Say, this is something we would like to offer for a one-time gift to all the new folk that study with us. This introductory package gives you a monthly newsletter, which means each month you will receive a newsletter with a Bible study on it. Hey, raising funds? No way. We're not beggars. We're Bible teachers. That's what it consists of. A tape catalog that will give you all the topics that are covered. And the Mark of the Beast tape. What is this Mark of the Beast? Is it really on your forehead? No, Satan's considerably more intelligent than that. It's in your forehead, which is to say, in your mind. Have you been deceived? This is a free offer to you, one time to each new student, saying, find out what's really happening and what the story is on the Mark of the Beast. All right, there we are back again. Hey, I want to show you an 800 number at this time. That telephone number is 1-800-643-4645. If the Spirit moves and you have a question, share it, won't you? That number good from Puerto Rico up through the United States, including Alaska and Hawaii and our great neighbors to the north, Canada. And if you wish to pay your own toll, the area code is 501-787-6026. Those of you that listen by shortwave around this great globe, it's always good to have you with us. Your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. And it's always good to hear from you and receive those questions. Now, if you got a prayer request, I want you to take it straight to your Father. He loves you. He hears you. You know what? He knows you whether you know Him or not. You know why? You're His child. He loves you a great deal. Even when you're in sin, He loves you, but it hurts Him a great deal. And Even though he loves some, they will walk into that lake of fire at the end of the age. At the end of this dispensation, I should say. The millennium dispensation. Sad? Yes. But very necessary. Because we don't want problems in the eon. Okay, let's talk to him. Father, we ask that you lead, guide, direct, touch, heal you in Yeshua's precious name. Amen. Okay, let's just go into some questions here and see what people have on their minds. We're going to go to Marie from Alabama. Please let me know if in some way I know you can't name churches. I'm sorry, that's what she says. No, I never single out churches. But I cannot find out what church is like Smyrna in Philadelphia. Well, honey, it's real simple. You have to go by content. Take a note, Revelation 2:9 and 3:9, they both teach who the Kenites are, those that claim to be of our brother Judah and liars. If your church isn't teaching that, you're not in a church God is pleased with. It's that simple. You're not in a church Christ is at all pleased with. And if they don't teach it, then you got trouble. You better know it on your own. Patsy from Illinois. Will the animal sacrifices be brought back during the millennium? If so, why? No, they will not. I know it is written in the Ezekiel chapters pertaining to the millennium about sacrifice. But God, in the book of Isaiah, said, I don't want any more of your burnt animals. Your sacrifice is your love. And that's what the sacrifice will be in the millennium age. And the offering will be love. Jennifer from Michigan, where will the white throne be? They be on earth or in heaven? It will be on earth. God returns to earth de facto in the 20th chapter of Revelation, and immediately following that is the white throne judgment. Manny from Florida, Paul talks about the congregation being bewitched. Could you explain this or make comment? That's a very good question, and it's very befitting following the subject matter we just discussed. There are two Greek words that are used as bewitched, and in Paul's case, it means to be astonished, to be amazed. And Satan will bewitch by tricks, by miracles, that man's mind is not ready to accept, reject. Going to deceive a lot of people, and he will bewitch them. There'll be another word that is used is fascinated. They're absolutely fascinated by what he does. All right? And that's what deceives them. Douglas from Arkansas, I really enjoy the program. Daniel chapter 12, verse 2, please explain. That's the old verse that really gets a lot of people going. It says that from the very dust, people will come up at that time. Do you know why? That's the time that the true Christ returns. And all these people that fall into the trap during that first tribulation of peace and love and the false Jesus, as Satan was told in the book of the third chapter of Genesis, on your dust all the days shall you crawl. And when you go with him, that Messiah, you're in the dust on your belly. Spiritually speaking, a statement of degradation. They're all going to rise up from it, and every knee will bow to the true Messiah on that day. Therefore, the meaning. That's why that Michael is mentioned as our angel in the first verse of that 12th chapter. Okay, Celestine from California. This is my husband's second marriage. He believes he is still married to his first wife because of what is taught. How can I answer this? Celestine, please order my tape on divorce, all right? It's not something I can answer just like that. You need to know from God's Word. I'm not trying to peddle tapes, but it is a tape that you need, and it will train you how to answer him and show him in God's Word. Order the tape on divorce, all right? Here from the chapel. Jane from Florida. If I go to a church that I think has sin in it, will I be a partaker of their sins? Not necessarily. Now, if you support it, and you know it's in sin, then yes, you're guilty. If you support it, you do far worse than what is written in the second epistle of John. In the second epistle of John, it states, if you know that it is wrong in that church, that if you as much as even wish them Godspeed, you become a partaker of their evil deeds. All right? That means support. Now, God may send you, though. We're supposed to go among publicans and sinners. And I don't care if it's a church, if it's teaching sin, they're sinners. All right? There's no way you can get around that. Did you just call a bunch of churches sinners? No, I didn't. If a shoe fits, yeah. If a church is teaching sin, they're sinners. But you didn't hear me put any names to that, all right? Do I love them? Yeah, I do. Do I respect them? Yeah, kind of. But I'll be very hard on pastors that do not teach that message of Smyrna and Philadelphia. But to say we are Christian, let me answer it this way. A Christian can walk wherever they want to. We don't have to be afraid of the devil himself. God gave us power over him through Christ. Debbie from California. I think I have a demon or an evil spirit as it bothers my thoughts, especially when I study the Bible. What can I do? Well, probably if it was really a demonic spirit or evil spirit, it wouldn't even let you study the Bible, but there may be one lurking in the background. That may sound confusing. Debbie, get the oil of our people, olive oil. Ask God to bless it as anointing oil. Tip your finger to your forehead and order Satan out of your house. Make a note, Luke chapter 10, verse 18. Christ beheld Satan fall as a star from heaven and gives us power over all of our enemies in his name, all right? And order anything negative out of your life and back where it came from. And be sure you use the name of Jesus or Yeshua, all right? And take control. You'll be rid of it. Bill from Missouri. When Antichrist comes, will everyone who worships him be brought to trial? Will everyone who worships him be brought to trial? They're going to stand in judgment, if that's what you mean. I want to read that again. When Antichrist comes, will everyone who worships him be brought to trial? By our Father when he returns, yes. He doesn't like people. That's why Paul wanted you to remain a virgin bride for the true Christ. That's why he would say, woe to you that are with this child, when I want a virgin when I come back. That's not literal, but spiritual. Okay? Susan, Mike, and Doug from California. We've been studying the time period of when someone dies, how soon they will obtain their spiritual body. Can you help our studies? Yeah. We just finished 2 Corinthians. And do you not remember that it stated that inside, the inside man is the way Paul put it, right? And it was in verse 16, the inside man, that is your spiritual body. Your spiritual body dwells inside this body. When this chunk of meat dies, it just steps out instantly. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. It happens instantly. Okay, Marcella from Virginia. I've had a chemical imbalance for 20 years and I'm mentally ill. I've tried to commit suicide several times. Will I still go to heaven? The fact that you have attempted leaves you room for repentance. That is not the unforgivable sin if it fails and you have an opportunity to repent. The only reason it becomes unforgivable, that is to say, suicide, is the simple reason you're not around to repent. And the first person you see is God himself, and you're his child, and the penalty for it is, what is the crime? It's murder. You murdered one of God's children, yourself. God doesn't like that, all right? But you have time to repent, Marcella. And you know something? God has a purpose for you here. Don't let him down, all right? Just continue studying his word and continue as a chemical imbalance must be treated. So listen to those who you receive treatment from very closely. Karen Rose, are the believers going to be judged during the Great White Throne Judgment? Yeah, believers will be judged there. You see, everybody thinks of judgment, I don't know why, but they think of it as punishment. But if you are judged to be a believer and your reward through your works is buku blessings, then naturally you're judged because you got the blessings coming, the reward, you see. Some go to the lake, but for us, we got all kinds of rewards waiting there for us on Judgment Day. You'll be judged in the good sense, okay? Neil from Michigan. Why, if Solomon had so much wisdom, why did he make so many mistakes? Because he was in the flesh. The flesh causes us to make mistakes, all right? It's that simple. Even a wise man makes mistakes because he's in a flesh body. There was only one entity that walked this earth in the flesh that was perfect, and that was Christ. Emmanuel, which is to say God with us, he conquered so that we have salvation regardless of our mistakes on repentance. Doris from Illinois, I have a daughter who claims to be born again, has been to Las Vegas 3 times within 11 months. I'm concerned. Well, just, set the example and show her the way. You can only set that example in truth. If a person has an habitual gambling habit, I said habitual, then that's bad news. You might talk to her and help her in that way. And Paul and Bobby, they're from California. When one of God's elect falls into sin from the lust of the flesh, becoming snared into Satan's trap and hurts another of God's elect terribly, before repentance, will God take vengeance on him for hurting the other elect? You bet. You bet he will. And in one form or the other, and it may be a hurt that you would not be aware of or count as just a happenstance. It might be your own pride within yourself, or maybe I should say joy within yourself rather than pride because of shame. That's a hurt. Virginia from North Carolina, there is a scripture in the Bible that speaks of someone who accidentally killed someone, and it states what should happen to the person left alive. Can you tell me where this scripture is? Yes, it's concerning the cities of refuge, and you'll find it in Deuteronomy chapter 19, that the precedent of that law of what the person should do today is probably good advice. Stay out of the sight of the close of kin, that none of them try to take vengeance. That's what we had cities of refuge for. James from Alabama, how can I show my friend that the rapture won't happen? From God's Word. I think that our rapture set of tapes is 2 tapes. You've got to know how to teach it from God's Word. Just saying it won't cut it with most people. You got to be able to teach it from God's Word. So order the tapes and be strongly armed when you talk to him. And that way it's not a very difficult thing to disprove if you are able to do it from God's Word. I'm going to tell you why, James. People don't like to listen to people. But if you can show it to them with God's words, then they will come near understanding and hearing. Mary from Georgia, you said the fallen angels came and impregnated women and are coming again. When? Please explain. Well, Mary, haven't you ever read Genesis chapter 6? It's declared very clearly there. And have you not read Revelation chapter 12, verse 7, where Satan and his angels are cast out again? Those are Nephilim, fallen angels. All right? That's why Paul in 1 Corinthians said a woman should keep her head covered with the veil because of the angels. They're coming back. Yeah. The veil is Christ, of course. Matt from Oklahoma. A baptism for the dead. Are we to do this? No. It's a mistranslation or a misunderstanding by certain churches. And it is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where Paul, with the subject being, if you think Christ didn't rise from the dead, then why would you call yourself a Christian? And this is where he said, if you think Christ was a dead man, why would you be baptized in his name? You see, so it doesn't have anything to do with baptizing ourselves for somebody that is already dead. It's a false teaching, a misteaching, I should say. Leroy from Kansas. What are the wise to understand in Daniel chapter 12, verse 10? Is it the seasons of torment for the period, the locust, 5 months, in Revelation 9, 5? Yeah, you got it. The wise are to understand the false Jesus being on this earth first and know what they're supposed to do about it. Many people have a destiny, and they've known it. I'm going to tell you something. You've known it since you were a child that there was more to God's Word than you'd been taught. Because, and for that reason, many of you will have eyes that see and ears that hear. And you will be a servant of the living God at that time. Well, we're out of time. We start a new book tomorrow. We're going to really get right back into it, teaching God's Word. It will probably be one of the Gospels. We'll see. And as stated prior, 27 new stations with new people. I feel it would be good at this time that we take a gospel. We're brought to you by your tithes and your offerings. If we've helped you, it should have changed your life. And if so, you help us reach others. Once you do that, help us to keep coming to you. We're living in a generation that we must be aware. Okay, most important, stay in His Word every day. And it's a beautiful day. Do you know why? Yeshua, Jesus, is the living Word.
Thank you for joining Shepherd's Chapel in today's study of God's Word. If you would like to further your studies with Pastor Murray, write Shepherd's Chapel, Gravett, Arkansas, 72736. For a free introductory package, which includes Mark of the Beast audio tape, a monthly newsletter, a complete tape catalog, and a new student tape list, write Shepherd's Chapel, Gravett, Arkansas, 72736. Feel free to call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day to request a free introductory package or to leave questions for Pastor Murray to answer on the air. We at Shepherd's Chapel would like to thank you for joining us each Monday through Friday at this same time for Shepherd's Chapel.
Genesis 1:46, the first six chapters in God's Word. The world that was. Did you realize there was a world age before this one? Same old world, different age.